Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a tight old-school DNB mid base from scratch in Ableton Live 12, then using automation to make it breathe, move, and actually lock with the drums instead of just sitting there like a synth preset. This is an intermediate workflow, so we're not just making noise and calling it bass. We're thinking like a drum and bass producer. Tight low mids, controlled aggression, mono discipline, and phrasing that supports the break rather than fighting it. First thing, put the bass in context. Don't design it in solo. Create your drum loop first, or at least have a kick, snare, hats, and a chopped break running at around 172 BPM. That's the right environment for the sound. Old school DNB bass is judged against the drums, not against silence. If it grooves with the break now, it'll usually work in the mix later. Name your track something like mid bass, and load up a stock synth. Operator is a great choice, and wave-eatable works too. We want a simple core sound with a bit of edge. Start with a saw or square type waveform, set the voice mode to mono, and keep unison minimal or off at first. If you want a little slide between notes, add a short glide time, maybe somewhere in the 20 to 50 millisecond range. Nothing too obvious yet. We're going for restrained movement, not rubbery wobble. Now shape the amp envelope so the bass feels punchy and short. Short decay, moderate sustain if needed, and a quick release. The goal is to keep the note edges clean, because in DNB a messy release can blur the rhythm fast. If the bass feels lazy, shorten the release before you reach for more EQ. That's one of those small fixes that makes a huge difference. Next, place an auto filter after the synth. This is where the sound starts to feel more old school and less like a plain patch. Use a low pass mode, either 12 or 24 dB, and start with the cutoff somewhere in the mid-range, maybe around 250 to 700 Hz depending on where your notes sit. Keep resonance moderate, not extreme. A little resonance can add attitude and help certain notes speak, but too much and it starts whistling and stealing focus from the drums. After the filter, add saturator. This is the character stage. Turn soft clip on, add a few dB of drive, and then make sure you're level matching the output. The point is not just to make it louder. It's to bring out the harmonics so the bass can cut through a dense break on smaller speakers and still feel weighty under the sub. And that's the next big point. Treat the sub like a separate layer, even if it's not on screen yet. Your mid-bass should not be trying to own the whole low end. In most cases, you want to high-pass the mid-bass gently with EQ at around 80 to 110 Hz, maybe a little higher if the sub is doing its job. That clears the way for the sub to stay clean and powerful. If the bass gets boxy, take a little out around 200 to 350 Hz. If it starts getting harsh, keep an eye on the 1.5 to 4K Hz range and tame any spikes there. This part matters a lot in DNB. If the mid bass and sub are both crowding the same space, the kick loses authority, the snare feels smaller, and the whole drop gets cloudy. Tight low end management is what makes the track hit harder. Now write the bass line itself. Keep it short and rhythmic. Old school DNB mid bass often works like a conversation with the drums. It doesn't need to play constantly. In fact, space is your friend. Try a one or two bar pattern using just a few notes, maybe three or four roots to start. Add one passing note, maybe a fifth or an octave, and keep the phrase syncopated. Let the kick and snare breathe around it. For example, if you're an F minor, you might work around F, Eb, and C. Use short hits on offbeats, maybe a longer note leading into a snare answer, and then leave the gap so the break can punch through. A good DNB bass line is usually phrased, not just looped. Think in call and response. Think in drum-shaped sentences. Now the fun part. Automation. This is where the bass becomes alive, and the key is not to overdo it. In DNB, the best automation is often the kind you barely notice until it's gone. Keep the main groove stable, and automate small changes that support the phrase. Start with auto filter cutoff. Open it slightly on the last note of a motif. Then close it back down at the start of the next phrase. That simple move gives you a sense of tension and release, without needing a huge sweep. You can also automate saturator drive so louder note accents hit a little harder, maybe by 1 to 3 dB. That's enough to make the phrase feel like it's leaning forward. If you're using wave-eatable or a synth with more movement options, you can automate wave-eatable position or FM amount as well, but keep it subtle. The goal is disciplined motion. One good automation lane often sounds bigger than three messy ones. A nice approach is to use clip automation for the repeating loop feel, and arrangement automation for bigger changes. So your loop can have its own internal movement every time it repeats, while the arrangement handles the larger story, like opening up in bar 9, pulling back before a fill, or making the drop evolve over 16 bars. If the patch still feels too static, add a gentle LFO to the filter cutoff or wavy to bowl position. Keep the depth low, around 5 to 15%, and use a slow rate like half bar or one bar movement. That gives the bass a breathing quality without turning it into a wobble patch. For darker D&B, subtle is usually heavier. Controlled movement hits harder than random motion. At this point, listen to the bass against the drums again. This is where the real decisions happen. If the bass feels too long, shorten the note lengths or the release. If it's stepping on the snare, clear a bit more around 200 to 300 HC. If the kick loses impact, high pass the mid bass a touch more and see if the sub can carry that weight instead. Always adjust in context. A really useful trick here is to automate by note group rather than across the whole bar. For example, let the last note of the phrase have a little more cutoff or drive, so it feels like the bass is answering the drums. That creates shape. It feels intentional. It feels like a musician, not a loop generator. Once the sound is working, consider resampling it. This is very old school, and it's great for tightening the character. Freeze and flatten, or resample to a new audio track. Then trim the start and end of notes. Remove clicks with tiny fades and consolidate your best one or two bar loop. Once it's audio, you can make tiny level edits too. Push the first note of a phrase up a little. Pull down a note that's masking the snare. Make one hit land harder before a fill. That kind of detail can make the bass feel way more like a performed part. Now check mono compatibility and width. The core mid bass should be narrow, maybe fully mono. Use utility if you need to collapse the width and make sure the center holds up. Any widening should usually live in a duplicate layer or a special effect version, not in the main foundation. In drum and bass, a solid center is everything. If the bass gets too wide, the mix loses urgency. Listen for the interaction with the break as well. If the break feels crowded, the bass may be holding too long or sitting too high in the low mids. If the snare loses punch, carve a little more space in the 180 to 300 HC zone. If the bass feels polite, don't just pile on distortion. Try more rhythmic repetition, tighter note lengths, or a small automation move on the last hit of the bar. Groove usually beats brute force. A really strong way to develop this over 8 or 16 bars is to use two states. Start darker and more close in the first section. Then open the filter a bit and add a touch more drive later on. That contrast keeps the drop moving. You can also use a reset bar before a new phrase, where the bass drops out or gets thinner for a moment, then comes back hard. That little bit of silence can make the return hit way harder. If you want extra attitude, duplicate the bass and create a top layer. High pass it aggressively, distort it a bit more, and blend it in quietly under the main sound. That gives you more grit without wrecking the clean core. Just keep the main bass clean and focused. Let the parallel layer do the dirty work. So, to recap the main idea, build the bass in context. Keep it mono and controlled. Separate the mid layer from the sub. Use filtering and saturation for character and automate in small, musical ways that support the drum phrase. The bass should feel like part of the rhythm section, not a separate event. If you've done it right, the result will feel gritty, restrained, and locked to the break. It'll leave room for the kick and snare, support the sub, and still give the drop that old-school D&B attitude. Now take what you built and do the practice challenge. Make a two-bar drum loop. Program a short three-note bass motif. Automate the cutoff so bar two opens a little more than bar one, and make one note in each bar hit harder with drive or velocity. Then resample it and tighten it up. If it feels like a real drop element instead of a sound design demo, you're in the zone. All right, let's move on and hear how that bass behaves in the full mix.